Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this, once again, is the inbreaking of the Word. It is the fifth week in Winter Ordinary Time. We have just concluded the fifth Sunday in Winter Ordinary Time, and now we embark on this week, which, again, if we're thinking about it, means that we are halfway, more than halfway, actually, through Winter Ordinary Time. Again, eight Sundays in Winter Ordinary Time. The first Sunday of Winter Ordinary Time is also equated with the baptism of Jesus, so they share. That Sunday shares the same kind of designation of two different things, but eight Sundays. Interesting to know, too, that like Advent, Winter Ordinary Time consists of a number of important Sundays, not necessarily a number of important weeks. Summer and fall Ordinary Time have an important number of weeks that need to be observed, but Winter Ordinary Time basically has an eighth Sunday, when we come to it, of Winter Ordinary Time, that then leads us just to 2 days in that week of Ordinary Time, Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So hint, hint, Lent is breathing down our necks. So we are more than halfway through this. Lent is really three weeks away in one way. So all of this stuff is ramping up, and we have to kind of all just be aware of this in this short block of time. This shortness of weeks, so this importance of Sundays, again, mirrors Advent. Remember, Advent needs 4 Sundays, it doesn't need 4 weeks. So the same kind of thing is kind of equaled as we move from Christmas marching towards Lent in this Winter Ordinary Time period, where we just take a look at these important Sundays most of all. Again, another significance perhaps that we are an Advent people because this important time between Christmas and Lent mirrors, again, what Advent is for us in some ways. Something to think about. But just to recap again where we are at this more than midway point in Ordinary Time, Winter Ordinary Time. First Sunday of Ordinary Time is Jesus' baptism. Second Sunday of Ordinary Time, water into wine for drunks. Again, ridiculous, absurd, outrageous. How can Jesus say this is the first miracle? And yet Jesus does, because God does what we do not expect God to do. God is beyond all the things we keep saying God is, and God basically demonstrates who and what God is for us so that we might learn, and we don't. We still need to learn, and we still need to move away from a stodgy old God who basically wants to throw thunderbolts at us every moment that we walk for some reason. The third Sunday in Winter Ordinary Time, Jesus in the gospel is in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he opens the scroll to the prophet Isaiah and reads about liberty to captives, a sight to the blind, freedom for prisoners, a year of favor to the Lord. And then he says, this is happening right here and right now, to everyone's amazement. Again, what does that mean? What does that mean that all these wonderful promises that Isaiah makes, that God makes through Isaiah, are going to happen and are happening right now? Well, the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, we would have gotten a little bit more of that, but preempted by Jesus' presentation in the temple. A good thing helps us to remember, again, that Christmas is not something that can remain silent. It has echoes, like a stone thrown into a pond or a river or a lake or whatever it is. It ripples out and ripples out. 40 days of Christmas we can celebrate if we so choose, if we are aware of it, if we want to. And presentation on a Sunday tells us that. If it falls on a weekday, it falls like every other weekday and just kind of gets forgotten. But thank God it helped this year here on a Sunday, awakening us again to the more of what God is that we sometimes won't listen to or can't believe our own selves. Then we move now into today, into this week, the fifth Sunday in Winter Ordinary Time, in which what Jesus says is fulfilled now begins to unfold as to how it is going to be fulfilled. And that's important for us again to connect, you know, within all of this. These are not just isolated stories about life of Jesus. They have a pattern, a rhythm that is meant to teach us about who and what this Christ is, why this Winter Ordinary Time is so important. Who is this Wonder Counselor, a mighty God, Prince of Peace, King forever? Who is he? Why is this child born for us? Why is this son given to us? Well, now we're going to find out. And now it's all about finding out this. So our readings for this fifth Sunday in Winter Ordinary Time, well, again, because the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time was preempted by presentation of the Lord, we have kind of a neat connection between Isaiah's proclamation and Isaiah being our first reading for this Sunday that we think about during this week. Isaiah, the passage that is written, that Isaiah is writing about, is his own call to be a prophet on how God does that. And God does that in a pretty amazing, big, bad way. Again, it is God basically showing up to Isaiah in all of his glory, in all of God's glory, on his throne in majesty, smoke and fire and all kinds of things like that. Cherubim and seraphim, all kinds of angels screaming, praising, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The first part of the Sanctus, the first part of the holy, holy that we say before the Eucharistic prayer comes from right here. And when Isaiah sees this, again, this great vision of God, which he did not expect, woe to me, because I'm a sinner, I'm going to die, God's going to kill me. Who put that into Isaiah's head? That's what's going to happen? We did. Because we as human beings, again, want our God just powerful and not loving. We want our God in control and not having any compassion. And if God shows up with all this kind of stuff, basically it's going to mean destruction. But it's not. Now we could ask again, God, why couldn't you have just tapped Isaiah on the shoulder? Or why couldn't you have sent a nice angel like Gabriel, like you did to Mary, to tell him he's going to be a prophet? Who knows? But God basically shows up as God does and basically shows Isaiah that no, it's what you think is about to happen is not going to happen. An angel takes a coal from this burning brazier in front of the throne, touches Isaiah's lips and says, your wickedness is gone, your sins are cured, whatever it is. Don't go into thinking, again, Isaiah was a horrible person, was filled with sins, and so God needs to cleanse all that because God can't use, you know, all these kinds of things. No. What God can't use is ignorance and fear. God has to have us get beyond that because stuff needs to get done. Fear and ignorance stop us from doing the stuff that God needs us to do. And so Isaiah is cleansed of that. They are the worst of sins, basically, because they are the fount of all other sinfulness, perhaps, ignorance and fear. And so with that cleansed, basically when God calls out, who can I send these Israelites to help them recognize, you know, that they're not, that they're on the wrong road and that they're not so bad off as they are, that they need to come back to me. Isaiah is the one who holds up his hand and says, send me. I'm the one who can do this. I'm the one who can change all of this. And so that happens. And so it happens. The second reading from Corinthians, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, is again, it's this semi-continuous reading of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which kind of can seem like an intrusion or a distraction any other Sunday. But this Sunday, it seems to connect with the first reading in the gospel, which are the two important readings really in every Sunday. Here it is, Paul is talking about his own call to be a missionary, to be the one who is going to be the prophet to the Gentiles, to tell them about Christ. And as unworthy as he was, because he persecuted the church, God still chose him. God still chose him. And what we have now is him passing on what it is that he has learned about who this Christ is, how he lived, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose, and then he started to appear to people to show that resurrection is not a fantasy. It's not some kind of make-believe. It's not some kind of teddy bear in the dark that we cling to because we know that life is terrible. No, this is where God is doing decisive work and changing the course of human history. And now Paul becomes one to tell people about this. And even in his own brokenness, God sees a use for this man to be able to become a great missionary to the Gentiles. Then we come to the gospel from Luke. Again, a fantastic gospel where Jesus is preaching, gets into a boat. The Sea of Gennesaret is a smaller little inland sea atop the Sea of Galilee. It's perhaps all the Sea of Galilee, but they just give it a different name. He gets into a boat to preach to people, but then sees people fishing on the shore, you know, and asks them, how is it going? And basically they're all grumpy because they went out all night, caught nothing. If you don't catch any fish, you can't sell them. You can't sell them, you can't get money. Can't get money, can't feed your family, you know? And so Jesus says, well, why don't you go out deeper? And again, who the heck is this Jesus? He's a carpenter, knows nothing about fishing, knows nothing about, you know, sailing, knows nothing about any of these kinds of things. And like, why is he giving us advice? And again, they don't believe it. Because the thing is, if you're not catching any fish at night, you're certainly not going to catch them in the heat of day, you know, in daylight. So why do this? But somehow they listen to him. And again, and this is where, again, we get a first instance of Peter. And, you know, and Peter says, this isn't going to work, but I'll go ahead and do it anyway because you said so. Again, why does Peter bother to do it at all? Maybe he sees something, you know, what this Jesus is saying. So they go out into the deep. They duke in altum, you know, is the Latin for it. It's what JP2 used to say to kids all the time, to young people, to teenagers. It's go out into the deep, into what you don't know and what you don't think is possible and see what can be possible because God is there. Fantastic. Fantastic. So Peter does. They catch more fish than they can imagine. Nets are breaking. Got to call their friends in to call them all in and haul in the nets and things like that. And then Peter does whatever Peter does well, which is to get overly dramatic, self-focused, self-centered, ego out the wazoo. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You know, shut up. Peter, stop talking because there's work to be done. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop navel gazing. I can work with you. I want to work with you. I told you to go out to do this to begin with. And you don't say that you didn't believe me or that you're a sinful man because you went out anyway. Again, it's recognizing where we're listening and where we're not listening, when God is working and when God is not working, but God is always working in our lives. And then this most wonderful thing again that Jesus says, I'm now going to make you a fisher, not just a fish, but a fisher of people, to bring them in great nets to me, to bring them in great nets to into my brain, to bring them to where there is truth and understanding and reality, where the truth and wonder of what it means to be human will be revealed. The truth and wonder of what it means to be in relationship with each other and with God will be revealed. This now is your work. This is our work. We are all called to be fishers of men and women by our baptism. It's not people with collars or habits or anything else like that. It is all of us together working again to spread this gospel, to tell people this good news, a good news that must be heard, a good news that people need to listen to, a good news that can transform every life, all of creation. God bless you. May God in his wonder and his beauty give you more and more insight into the beauty and wonder of who you are and how you are a vehicle of all that God is in this world. Peace and all good from Franciscan Media.